First off, I hear, obviously you're okay, but I hear you were in a car accident, yeah. And I just had to make sure that everything's okay and that you're back to work.
Yeah, you know, it happened on a Saturday, a week ago Saturday. It was just a really freak thing. I pulled up to an intersection and started going on. I stopped at the stop sign and moved ahead. All of a sudden, a truck comes crashing through there that ran through the stop sign, and he didn't have any brakes. And so we both collided into each other, and it messed up my vehicle pretty good. Gave me a little bit of a stiff neck and a little bit of an elbow thing, but minor, very, very minor kind of thing, just little bumps. And just fortunate it wasn't a lot worse of an accident. If he would have, could have T-boned into me, I'm sure it would have been a lot worse for all of us.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're okay.
Yeah, it's all good.
There were 258 laws that went into effect last week, from common construction wage, of course, the state budget. Do any of these kind of pop out at you or come to mind, or that maybe, you're on the lookout for being here in Terre Haute?
You know, really, there weren't a whole lot of things that have a big impact on us this time, which it was a good thing from my perspective, because some of the things the legislature was looking at were things that I think would have hurt us and really pinned us down, and that a lot of those things didn't happen. Some of the other things that they did do will have a minimal impact, or really nobody will notice. So I'm feeling actually pretty good about this session. I think that some of the things that have come out of it, they are what they are. And so I'm not too concerned, I guess, about the effects on Terre Haute of any of those laws.
We've seen there have been a few Supreme Court decisions made as well. And when we talked with Greencastle Mayor Sue Murray last week, she mentioned the irony of the EPA decision saying that mm-hmm. they can't, regulate without some cost study. But then her and Greencastle get stuck with these unfunded mandates for their term for their city water. Does Terre Haute get in that same boat as well?
Absolutely. I totally understand the need to have guidelines both at the federal level and at the state level. But when they pass that down, especially from Washington, and tell you, you have to do this, you have to clean up the river. Okay, nobody's going to disagree with that, but we have to fund it ourselves. And so every community, and not just rivers, but just dealing with stormwater in general, all those things, a cleanup of brownfield sites. We do get a few grants for the brownfield sites, but it's never enough to really even put a big dent in it. So we have to fund them. And all these things just come with those unfunded mandates. And yet, if you don't do it, they'll take you to court. And so you have no choice. It's very frustrating.
When I think of construction projects, we haven't talked about the water utility plant lately. How is that? Was that originally a mandate, or was that just...
No, it's a mandate. No, it's part of the long-term control plan, and not, dumping raw sewage and or stormwater into the river. And so it was the first big phase of that, really, where we'll be able to capture a lot more of that so it doesn't go into the river. But, once again, they tell you, you're going to spend 2% of the median income of the people of your community. And so you come up with this dollar amount, and they say, okay, go put a plan together for that, and we'll see if we approve it. But we have to fund it all ourselves. And so, once again, it's very expensive to do that, to meet their requirements and stay in compliance with all the regulations, but you have to do it at the expense of the local community.
How is the progress of construction?
The progress.
It's supposed to get done this year, right?
And it will. They're wrapping up, really, a lot of pieces. Still doing some interior work in some of the buildings, and they've got landscaping and that kind of activity to do on the outside. But the majority of things are completed or in the process of being brought online. And so the next few months, it ought to be 99 to 100% completed here by this fall.
I wanted to follow up on a report that I just read about on the Tribune Star on the payment of the bonds. From what I understand, it was, from what you said in that report, it was just the escrow payments that were late, but now they're all caught up.
Right. That's our only bond that's like that, and it's for the wastewater treatment plant. It's just the way that one was structured, where you make monthly escrow payments, and then so the funds are sitting there in June to make the payment on July 1st. And you do the same thing again for the last half of the year. We were late on a few of those escrow payments because of timing of revenues and things like that. But the key is all that needs to be in place in June so the bond payment can be made on July 1st. Our next payment will be due on January 1st for the plant, and then we'll begin to do escrow payments, throughout the rest of the second half of the year. you know, a lot of this has to do with just, once again, the timing, when the revenues come in. We've got a rate increase that'll be going in this year. So things will settle down as we move into the future. But, you know, we've kind of had a little bit of a bumpy road a few months this year.
Looking to the future, how do you try to plan that budget so that those payments don't be late?
Well, some things were getting paid off, and so some expenses go away. But in addition to that, with the rate increase that we had last year and the one we have again this year, should stabilize that. Because basically, you're paying up front. You know, when the bond started, we didn't have 6 months of reserves. We had to make a bond payment. And so you kind of started off in a hole a little bit. And so we need to build up some reserves so it's easy to do that. And we'll do that in the coming years.
Any redevelopment plans along the Wabash River?
Well, you know, nothing specific.
Yeah.
All I can tell you is we continue to work with Riverscape. The county is involved with things on the other side. And we're all continuing to work as a community to acquire additional property, work with current owners to find new uses and new life for some of these old industrial properties. ISU continues to do their build out. And they're completing a lot of that, you know, the track and some other things they're doing. There'll be some future phases of that, but the trail and just, we've got our trail in on the south end. So we just continue to move the whole plan along and don't really, I just can't reveal any specifics right now.
Yeah.
Because we don't have anything that's concrete.
Sure. Summertime in full swing, any big construction projects going on?
Margaret Avenue's our big one.
That's,
you know,
the big one, yeah.
Outside the treatment plant and wrapping that up and some other wastewater related sewer projects, but Margaret Avenue from 3rd to 7th Street is under construction, big project. We're doing land acquisition on that next section from 14th to 25th Street and preparing to hopefully go to construction later next year on that one. So Margaret Avenue will continue to be a big deal for us, but just, you know, doing sidewalks, doing regular paving of streets, and you know, it's just a typical construction year.
It's been a little while since we talked, too, but I did catch up a little bit about the whole Powerdyne contract and that just halted right now due to the lawsuit. Has anything changed since we've last talked on that?
No, not really. You know, once Overseas Lease Group filed that suit, you know, there's several things that are being disputed between us and them and between them and Powerdyne. But, you know, they filed that suit against us because they want to be reimbursed for their expenses that they have put out up front. And, you know, that has to be sorted out. All that has to be dealt with in order for Powerdyne to decide whether they're moving forward or not, because we're tied up with this Highland LLC that was going to do the dewatering at the plant. They own the property where Powerdyne, you know, wants to place their plant. So it's just kind of an interesting dynamic right now of getting the legal issues sorted out so everybody kind of knows how they can proceed.
I remember when we first talked about this, we had one listener write in and was concerned about the smell, which you said was not going to be an
mm-hmm.
issue. And then, you know, here we are maybe a year or so later, and now this is kind of blown up. You know, are you pretty frustrated over this whole?
Yeah, it is frustrating. I mean, it was a great project, you know, and it would have been really a boost to the economy here locally, putting people to work construction and the plant itself and the taxes they would pay, and being a cutting edge kind of a project, you know, all that is all great. We've had a little bit of a rocky road with some legal battles, some political battles with people who don't want that here. I understand all that, but at the end of the day, I'm hopeful that the project will move forward. Just really can't tell right now, and that remains to be seen.
Correct me if I'm wrong, the $3 million was part of that budget for this year that you were expecting from Powerdyne.
Uh-huh, yep.
Of course, that didn't happen. Is that...
Hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Are you able to get through?
Well, we'll find a way to do that. I mean, once again, it goes down to not spending additional funds, doing the internal things that we need to do to make sure we can, you know, don't get too far in the hole. That's really the bottom line, because we were counting on some revenues from that last year and this year. And so it does put you in a little bit of a hole when that doesn't happen, and we just have to overcome that.
I see where Mayor Goodnight from Kokomo threw out the first pitch here at Rex, and then I believe were you scheduled to throw out the first pitch? But that was a rain.
No, I did that.
Oh, you did it.
Yeah, we were having
okay.
the ICOM conference, Indiana Conference of Mayors conference was in Kokomo at that time. So Mayor Goodnight had me come up and throw out the first pitch. They were playing the Terre Haute Rex. So
yeah.
That all worked out great. Got to see their new stadium and take in the ball game. The Rex won in a very, very long game, extra innings. It was an exciting time, and just being able to see what's going on in Kokomo was really a treat too.
What's that like to go over to another city like that and see them, you know, with this new stadium? And I mean, I guess people don't realize that there is some friendship that goes with the mayors in the state.
Absolutely. And, you know, politics really doesn't get involved at that level. Mayors know that, you know, we're all not trying to steal anybody's ideas. You're just trying to make your community better. And Kokomo's done some great things. You know, we've done great things here. And when Greg came down here, he was able to take a look around and see some of the things we're doing. Everybody does that. They want to, don't want to have to reinvent the wheel, I guess. And you want to congratulate those that have been successful and figure out what things might work in your city. And Kokomo is very similar to Terre Haute, the demographics, the size. There's just a whole bunch of things about that that we have a lot of similarities. And so it was just really neat to see what was going on up there.
Anything else going on? Anything else I missed?
No, I don't think so in particular. It's just a very busy time. Of course, it's an election year on top of everything else. So yeah, I can't believe it's July already. It's just really excited about the things that are going on in Terre Haute. And we just want to, you know, keep moving things forward and just really seeing you know, great things happen, and it really takes that team effort. So it's been great to watch the community respond and do positive things. Looking forward to these two new housing projects to open up downtown this fall for ISU. That's going to add about 400 people living right in the downtown area. I'm really excited about that. So, you know, progress continues.
And it sounds like they've completed their leases on the new, or it's full right now downtown.
Yeah, and the Deming Hotel, the former Deming Center, is nearly full. So both of those, my guess is by the time we get into late August, early September, both of them will be at full occupancy.
Is there anything you have to, when you add that many people to a small area, is there anything you're kind of on the lookout that you might
parking.
Have to adjust?
Really, it's parking. You know, that's the main thing. You know, a lot of these students and young professionals, you know, they don't drive as much, maybe. You know, they do like to be on foot, bikes. You're seeing more of that happen, but there's still a lot of vehicles involved here. And so we're going to be watching very closely. We hope to extend our enforcement hours into the evening a little bit on Saturdays, so the businesses, you know, will still have the two-hour turnover. But we'll see. You know, ISU is really conscious of that, and they've provided parking on their campus and in the parking garage. The Deming Center project, they've got some parking things they're still working out, but that'll be what we're watching the closest.